Call the meeting to order. Proceed with change of zone number 1710, Robert Browning and Bradley Davis.
Hi, Mr. Chairman. For the record, I did introduce this application in reference to title. We did, again, in this application, we did receive an exhibit booklet. I won't read the page of notes that relate to what's contained in the booklet, but it was received on August 26th, and the commissioners have had copies for several days to review in their leisure. I will note that the Dell.com comments that we did receive an original copy of were dated April 24th of 2011, and they are included in the exhibit booklet provided by the applicant. The only additional agency comment to date that we received separately from what's in the exhibit booklet is a copy of the County Engineering Department Utility Planning Division comments, which were submitted on September 7th of 2011 in the form of a memorandum. And that memorandum references that the site is located in the Cedar Neck expansion of the Bethany Beach Sanitary Sewer District. The wastewater capacity is available for the project as long as the project does not exceed a total of 9.52 EDUs. That the current system connection charge rate is $4,697 per EDU. That each parcel is served with a 6-inch lateral along their easterly property line near their northeastern property corner. That conformity to the South Coastal Area Planning Study 2005 update will be required. That the project is within the boundaries of the Cedar Neck expansion area and connection to the source system is mandatory. That 6-inch laterals may not be adequate for the proposed commercial use and a lateral upgrade may be required. That installation of an 8-inch lateral upgrade would be at the expense of the property owners. That the county requires design and construction of the collection and transmission system to meet County Engineering Department requirements and procedures. That the county engineer must approve the connection point. That a sewer concept plan must be submitted for review and approval prior to any sewer connection. That the county requires that a county licensed plumber obtain a disconnection permit and properly disconnect the existing structures from sewer, and that the disconnection requires inspection and approval by county personnel and shall be completed before undertaking any site work, moving or demolishing the existing structures, or issuance of a building permit for new construction. For the benefit of the commission, on this application, I will provide copies of one letter in support. And if my papers will stick together, I ran out of clips and I had to use paper clips. And I provide copies of letters in opposition and emails. There are, as I stated, there is one letter in support, and there are 53 letters in or emails in opposition, and rather than reading them all, they are for the record, and the commission does have copies of those letters. And I believe that's all I have, unless you have questions.
Okay. I think so.
Right, I do have copies of a larger scale site plan if you'd like to have one in front of you, but I think the applicant's presentation will include those same drawings.
Yes, sir.
Good evening, Mr. Wheatley. Gentlemen, my name is William Scott. I'm an attorney with the law firm of Scott & Schumann down on Route 54. I represent the applicants, Brad Davis and Bob Browning, also who are here tonight sitting up front. Also here with us is the consulting engineer on the project, Jim Willey from George Miles and Buer. As Mr. Lang said, we submitted exhibit books for your review, so I'll try not to go through too much of that. I will point out to a couple different maps and some other the plus comments as we go through. The property is located on the northeast. This property we're talking about is 2.38 acres. It's located on the northeast corner of Fred Hudson Road and Cedar Neck Road. So just to orient you, this is Route 1 up here, Fred Hudson Road here, Cedar Neck Road here. That's the Salt Pond and the Harris Teeter shopping center. And this is the proposed location right here across from Sunset Harbor and the old village project right there. The project, or the property is currently zoned MR, medium density residential. This is a request by the two landowners to have the property rezoned to B1 neighborhood business. It would be as one consolidated parcel if we were successful in our rezoning request. Unlike many applicants that come before you, we do not have any users identified for this site. There's no contracts of sale. There's no users identified. It's simply in a place on that corner across from the Harris Teeter Shopping Center, and I'll go through some of the uses up and down Cedar Neck Road where we believe its best use is neighborhood commercial. There is a concept plan that we submitted. Jim, would you mind showing that? The concept plan that we submitted, it's in your exhibit book and shown right there. As with the prior application, this is not a site plan approval or request, but this is a concept plan for what could go onto the site if we were successful in our rezoning. Basically, it just shows a placeholder of two buildings. One's 9,000 square feet, one's 9,500 square feet, which is basically what you could fit along with, you know, landscaping and some buffers and parking. That's not to say that that's what would be put out there, but it's a placeholder for purposes of understanding what could fit on that site if it were rezoned as B1. The property is located in the environmentally sensitive developing district overlay zone and in the level 3 investment area for the state strategies and spending, which, as you all know, means that this is an area that's targeted for growth. The reason it's level 3 is because there may be some environmental considerations that need to be taken into consideration before it can be developed. As you'll see from the exhibit books that we have, luckily for our purposes, there are really no there's no wetlands on the site. There's no timber of any value that's on the site. There's no endangered species that have been identified with the site. Mr. Willie, who's the engineer for the applicants, will get into the stormwater management and how he would attempt to address through BMPs, the TMDL levels, and the nutrient loading and that sort of thing. But we don't have any wetlands. Again, no real clusters of any forest or any timber of any value. The comp plan also lists the retail and office uses as are permitted as B1 as uses that are permitted uses in the environmentally sensitive development district. So it's the same kind of neighborhood retail and office uses that B1 permits which would be contemplated for this site were we successful in our rezoning. The surrounding area of where the property is located is located on a portion of Cedar Neck Road that has several uses. If you look at this map, which is also in your exhibit books, it's under the second tab, and it's the first map after tab 2. What this map is showing you is this area of Cedar Neck Road and the other C1 and B1 uses that are located along Cedar Neck Road. So again, you've got doctor's office, you have the Harris Teeter Shopping Center, then that's the property here. You've got the Cedar Bay Senior Center, that's actually townhouses. Up here you've got the shopping center that has the Hickman Liquor Store and Tom and Terry's Seafood. There's a little restaurant back there called Dortones. As you keep going up, there's mini storage, which is across from Mr. Hocker, up at the top of the map. You've got some RV storage and sales and some other uses along there. Also along that part of Cedar Neck Road, if anyone's familiar with that part of Cedar Neck Road, you have several conditional uses, which we didn't reflect on the map. We just reflected B1 and C1 zoned areas and up some other home-based businesses. So you have things like Charles Moon Plumbing just moved out there. You've got hairdressers, you've got florists, you've got a bait shop all up and down Cedar Neck Road. And as I said, our property is located just across the street from the Harris Teeter Shopping Center that's part of the salt pond. The property is also located adjacent to the Toll Brothers at Bethany Lakes subdivisions on either side. Although if you look at the aerial map, which is at tab 2, the second map, so behind the zoning map that we have here. If you look at the aerial map, our property right here is located next to the clubhouse, the pool, tennis courts, the recreation and amenity center for Toll Brothers. Difficult to tell from the aerial and even the smaller or the close-up that are in your exhibit books, but there's also a white fence and trees that border where you have the rec center of Toll Brothers, and in between that property and the properties that Mr. Davis and Mr. Browning own. We did have our turn with Plus as well. We met with them back in December of 2010. The Plus comments and our responses to those comments are also in your exhibit book at tab 1. It's the fourth item back. If you look at that particular exhibit, you've got the Plus comments, and then I believe in green just below that is our response to each one of those comments. For the most part, Plus was very favorable, and it was generally very well received. We did receive some comments from Delaware Department of Transportation, which were incorporated into the conceptual plan that's before you and that Mr. Willie will take you through, with putting in some turn lanes and taking out some others. And there were also some comments from DENREC, and those were incorporated into the revised conceptual plan, again, not site plan, that we've submitted along with our application. There's no known cultural or historically relevant resources on this site, so we don't have any of those concerns either. With that, I'm going to ask Mr. Willie to come up and talk about stormwater management, talk about traffic, and talk about the ability for utilities to serve the site. Jim?
Good evening. For the record, my name is Jim Willie Jr., licensed Delaware PE, and I'm doing this long enough that my beard is gray and my hair is missing. A couple things we wanted to talk about.
Are you coloring it a little bit?
the stress of this job is doing wonders.
Tell me, look at my head.
looks vaguely similar. Okay, as we discussed, Mr. Scott would like me to speak to stormwater utilities and traffic. So in order to do that, I'm just going to take a brief tour through the site plan, very brief. The area is 2.38 acres, and we understand, as Mr. Robinson pointed out in the last hearing, that this is just a picture of what could happen. So when you go to make a picture, you've got two choices. You can put something small and cute and lots of green around it, or you can say, how many square feet of retail can we fit on this site, still have appropriate fire lanes, still have appropriate parking, and show that, and then get comments that may actually have some merit. So this site represents before you what we believe is the maximum amount of retail, as opposed to a minimum amount or a moderate amount. So having said that, with regard to stormwater, as Mr. Scott mentioned, there were some comments from DENREC relative to the PMDLs, the groundwater protection, and those sort of things. I was going to go into a little bit of detail on the BMPs, but again, Mr. Robertson's pointed out that's really not appropriate. But I will say that we did change. You'll see there's dark gray adjacent to the roadway, Cedar Neck and Fred Hudson. That's regular asphalt pavement. That would be an impervious pavement. The white is representative of pervious concrete, which we would use in order to achieve infiltration. The other thing that you'll notice is that we left green space immediately adjacent to the building, which isn't always typical, you know, for instance, for the convenience store or some retail, with the ideal there being that the roof catchment could be treated via bioretention or some sort of rain garden, all of which as pointed out previously, is required. Sussex Conservation District's going to make us do that, and Denrec's going to make us do that. And if you guys approve a site plan at some point, it'll all have to be approved. So I'm not going to go into any more great detail. The other thing that we did try to point out, the building closest to the corner is shown with a bit of a different shape. That was intended to reflect that the uses would have a pitched roof to mimic other construction in the coastal area, and that we don't intend to build two rectangles.
You may not even own it. You don't know what you're going to intend to build.
True.
This is a zoning question.
This is a zoning
question. Come on,
question.
It's a zoning question.
Yes, sir. With regard to utilities, I think that's a fairly simple matter. As noted, it's in a area served by Sussex Shores Water, and the memo from the engineering department from Mr. Ashman stated that there is sewer capacity available. So we have public water and sewer. That brings us to the issue of traffic. And as we all know, in the Route 1 corridor, the beach areas, there's plenty of it. And I know I've been here on occasions, you guys have been here on many occasions, where a traffic engineer stands up here and says, the traffic counts say this, that, and the other, and we can add a lane, we can add a turn lane, and we can make it so the intersection doesn't fail. And all of that's true, and DLDOT's going to require that. But that being said, there's still going to be traffic on these roads. No way I'm going to stand up here and say, gentlemen, we're going to put a business here and this traffic's going to go. I mean, that doesn't make any sense. What we can point out is that this site is on a corner. It has interconnectivity to the east. Fred Hudson Road runs out to Route 1. Interconnectivity to the south. Cedar Neck runs down to State Route 26. With regard to the site itself, DLDOT made comments with regard to the trip generation and what's shown on the plan. The 18,500 square feet generates less than 2,000 trips. They indicated that we would have the choice between doing a TIS or pay into an area-wide study fund in lieu of. And as you correctly noted, with regard to a site plan, if we were to come back with a site plan, if this were successfully rezoned, that showed, for instance, a high trip generator use, then we would possibly be forced into doing a TIS. In either case, whether we do the TIS or whether we pay the fee in lieu of, DLDOT's still going to require us to have an approved entrance package with whatever XL DCL lanes they require, and that we'll be responsible for traffic control improvements if required and off-site improvements. If you And Mr. Johnson, I know you love to read the plus comments from my past experience. Mr. Brockenbrough spoke to the intersection on Cedar Neck and alluding to traffic control improvements at that point. Obviously, at some point, if it was required to be a traffic light, then that's what we would have to do. The one thing we will note, what trip generation factors, with regard to a neighborhood business, one of the goals of a neighborhood business is that it provides services within walking distance, within biking distance, and such that people from the immediate area have additional shopping opportunities and perhaps, you know, generates trips into and out of that parcel. But these trips are, in some respect, trips that people are already taking or they need to take. Having said that, that covers the stormwater, the water and sewer utilities, and traffic as best I can explain it at this point. I believe Mr. Scott has some closing remarks, and I'll be available for any questions.
Well, I do want to tell you my previous comment, notwithstanding. We do appreciate seeing what the maximum, because that's not an unreasonable question for somebody to wonder what's the most that could be there. And I appreciate you showing us that. So, go ahead.
Thank you.
Rezoning this property will help foster the economic development of the county. That's one part of the comp plan, the 2008 Sussex County Comprehensive Land Use Plan. in that it would provide jobs, it's going to provide entrepreneurial opportunities for residents, it's going to increase the tax base. We believe it will have a positive impact on the surrounding areas and the property values of those areas. As Mr. Willie said, the purpose of a B1 neighborhood business district is to provide primarily for retail shopping and personal service uses, to serve the needs of a relatively small area, primarily nearby rural, low-density, or medium-density residential neighborhoods. Well, retail shopping and personal services are exactly the type of users that Mr. Davis and Mr. Browning are attempting to try to attract to this area, and the surrounding area is medium-density residential for the most part, to the extent it's not already used as commercial. And the idea would be that, again, as Mr. Willie said, these are conserving trips, because you don't have to go out to Route 1 or down to Route 26 to get the kind of services and shopping opportunities that you need. Our request for rezoning is consistent with the Sussex County Comprehensive Plan and with the county code. It's consistent with the character and trend of development in this area. It's going to promote and benefit the citizens of Sussex County. And with that, we're here to answer any questions that the commission members or Mr. Robertson or staff may have.
All right, sir. Well, if that concludes your presentation, we'll see if there's anyone here that that has a question for you.
Thank you.
And we'll start with Mr. Smith.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, Mr. Scott. A couple questions. Taking a lot of notes. I appreciate your exhibit booklet. If this application were acted favorably on, do you know what the timetable for building this out would be?
There's no identified timetable at this point. There are two residential houses on there right now, both of which are rented to people who are using it as a house. The idea is that if the rezoning were successful, they would start marketing the property and see if they can generate enough interest to be able to put, you know, the business uses together to make a nice tenant mix for that area.
So could, with that lack of a timetable, could that be a consideration as to why this is a rezoning application, not a conditional use?
It's that. I mean, there's two real reasons for that. One is we don't have any identified users, so limiting it to a conditional use at this point would be difficult. I think Heidi, Ms. Gilmore said earlier as well, banks are not in the position at this point, typically, to lend on conditional uses, and that if there's any hope of actually developing the site, you're going to need to get it rezoned as permitting, you know, commercial, and we asked for B1 instead of C1, even though there's C1 up and down Cedar Neck Road, because it provides for, you know, less intense uses and is appropriate here, but you're going to need it as B1 or else the bank's going to balk. So that is true as well, unfortunately.
You mentioned Mr. Johnson. Like myself, I read the plus comments, pages 4 and 8. The DelDOT does has some problems with what is the possible proposed entrance for this site. My question to you would be, your statement is that you will address those problems, whatever are cares and corrections that DelDOT would recommend if this site were approved.
That's correct. It'll be Mr. Willie's job, but yes, we'll address, we will have to deal with DelDOT and address whatever their concerns are and make sure that they're on board in order to develop the property. So we intend to do that.
But just as a minor point, again, it's not a site plan issue, but for instance, you probably noted in the plus comments, they were not comfortable with a right in, right out on Fred Hudson. And they said, well, maybe.
Name's left in, left out.
Well,
we're going to have to cross to on Fred Hudson.
We originally had a right in, right out.
Okay.
I don't think we ever dreamed of a left turn.
Anyhow, they said that, you know, they thought there was no chance that would work. So we changed the picture to show a right in only. And obviously, there's a extensive DelDOT entrance permitting process that we would have to go through, and then we probably have to come back and ask you for an extension on our approval because DelDOT hadn't approved it yet. But anyhow, we won't go there.
Wouldn't it a left in if you were on Fred Hudson heading east? You would make a left into
could.
That site. If you made a right, you'd go to Harris
Teeter. The original plan, I believe, did show a parking lot chop island that would prevent people from, you know, if they turn in, they'd have to turn in, they have to turn left into the right out lane, mm-hmm. or swing up and go, you know, sort of make a 180 degree or a 270 plus turn in to get back in.
Did the applicants make any overtures to any of the surrounding communities? I mean,
We did. Mr. Browning, Bob Browning, did reach out to both the president of the Homeowners Association for Bethany Lakes and the property management company who represented them as well, and tried to explain to them what the situation was, you know, that there was no users identified, no one's going to come in and plop down a building tomorrow. You know, we don't have any immediate plans to develop the property. It's just more, it'll be more marketable if it's rezoned, as opposed to trying to lure someone in that says, if you want to come here, then we'll try to go get it rezoned and see if you can come. So there were discussions held, but apparently, notwithstanding that, there's still you know, a fair amount of people from Bethany Lakes that are that have sent in letters of opposition.
So, cut quite a bit of reading from those, as our director said, 53 letters and emails. And I guess I'll be very curious to see what they have to say, and I thank you for your time, Mr. Chairman. That's all I have.
All right, so we thank you, Mr. Ross.
Yes, have you been giving your testimony? I had an opportunity to read through your presentation booklet, so I was trying to read through some of these letters, Mr. Smithson, so I could incorporate some of their questions, their concerns, and my questions. I guess the current use is, you say they're trying to rent the property, and in some of the letters of opposition were referencing prior uses, maybe storage of materials, construction materials, some cabinet making. Can you go through a litany of what the house or the building there has been used for over the past few years?
I can, Mr. Ross. There are two houses there. One of the houses does have a gentleman who is in a property management business. There's a pole building out there. There's a bunch of outbuildings that have existed on that property for a while. He does have a sign up there, which some of the people point out in the opposition letters, that there's a sign up advertising, as I believe it's a property management business, Mr. Lloyd. In discussing that with Mr. Browning, who that's his particular property, not until the rezoning application came up were there ever any complaints from anyone. We're not aware that, you know, anybody ever contacted the tenant or tried to contact him as the owner to say, hey, there's something going on there, you're not allowed to, or contacted the county. That sort of came up in connection with the rezoning. As soon as that happened, Mr. Browning contacted Mr. Lloyd, said, you know, take the sign. If you're not allowed to have the sign, you got to take that down. I believe there was some equipment that he had out there that's been removed. As for, you know, woodworking in that back shop, I mean, I'm not aware of anything going on there of a commercial nature. I think that's more of a shop that he has in the back that he does whatever he does, but he's in the property management business. But there was a sign which has been removed very recently. I believe we did get notice from Mr. Lank that a violation letter was issued very recently, so that was removed, and the equipment was removed as well. But that's what I'm trying to say is, on the first complaint of any of that, Mr. Browning stepped up to immediately address it.
So the violation was issued after your zoning application?
That's correct.
Okay. And then the current buildings that are there, is it the plan to raze those buildings, to tear them down and rebuild new from new, or use the existing buildings? Or?
If we were able to be successful in our rezoning, and if we redevelop the site as commercial, then we would go that route. But for now, they'll stay.
Because in your drawings, you're depicting two buildings. That one house looks like it's been added to over the years,
right?
But it's one kind of a large building, right?
Yes.
So you just haven't made that decision yet.
Yeah, once we get there. Yeah, we would not use the existing buildings as part of any, you know, neighborhood business use that we would put out there.
Sure.
In that case, we would do new construction.
Has there been any thought, you know, down the road, if if it was favorably acted upon, about discussing with Bethany development, the access or buffers or things of that nature?
Absolutely. We thought we had, and we intend on doing that after this hearing as well. But we thought we had spoken, reached out and spoken to the property management company, reached out and spoken to a representative from the Homeowners Association. So
your client realizes that under his current zoning, he could actually do multifamily dwellings at 3,600 square feet, just a little over 3,600 square feet per dwelling?
We've looked at a couple of different residential uses that we'd be permitted or, you know, could get a conditional use or what have you at the site, yes. It's our belief that commercial or neighborhood business, I should say, is really the most appropriate use for the property. But, yes, there's a fair amount of residential that could get put there under the current MR zoning.
And that's about as high as residential zoning as we hand out around here, you know?
That's right. I was surprised, actually, that it was MR when we started, and when I prepared all my notes, you just automatically write in AR. So,
how many potential housing units could go on that site? Have you calculated?
Jim, you have an idea? I know if we did straight.
Right. If we did straight subdivision, the property is a little over 104,000 square feet. So if we took 20% for open space, 15% for a little cul-de-sac, that would leave about 67,000 square feet. Zoning would require 10,000 square foot lots. So if the geometry was perfect, we could get six single families. I did a quick sketch, and having the gray beard and everything, it was a pencil back at the desk, and it'll fit five very easily with space left over. So someone using the computer and spend a little bit more time might be able to make that six work. Townhouses, obviously, given the nature, probably would lend itself to two sticks. One stick could be the full 165 feet, which would probably be an eight stick, and then there's room for a 40-foot setback and probably about a six stick. So that would be 14 units that would fit on the site. The issue there then, of course, would be that 14 units would be in excess of what the county has calculated for sewer. I would also note that, and it's in the book, but for 18,000 square feet of retail, that's only 6.16 EDU, so we would be under on the sewer with the commercial use. But it does lend itself to some increased density for residential housing, yes.
Under its current zoning?
Under its current zoning.
Correct.
No further questions, Mr. Chairman.
All right, so we thank you. Mr. Johnson.
Mr. Chairman, I believe all my questions have been asked.
Okay. Mr. Burton?
No questions from me, thank you.
Okay. Mr. Lang?
No questions.
Mr. Abbott?
No questions.
Council?
None at this point, thanks.
All right then. Gentlemen, if you'll take a seat nearby, we'll see if there's anyone here that has an interest in your application. Is there anyone here that would like to speak in favor of change of zone number 1710, Robert Browning and Bradley Davis? Is anyone here that would like to speak in opposition to change of zone number 1710? Yes, sir. Step right up.
My name is Jim Galan. I'm the president of the Bethany Lakes Homeowners Association. And we want to thank you for allowing us the opportunity tonight to offer our views on this proposal. Bethany Lakes is a community of 88 single-family homes. The 2.38 acres the applicant has asked to be rezoned from medium-density residential to B1 neighborhood business abuts the southwest corner of our property. Right across the street on Cedar Neck is a 280-unit or houses from of the Bayside of Bethany Lakes. Mm-hmm. And across from across from our entrance on Fred Hudson, is 500 homes of the Salt Pond. Just north of us, we have a senior center which houses a number of senior citizens. So we have a cluster of neighborhoods in there of single-family houses, villas, townhouses, and apartment-type structures. We are going to oppose the rezoning of this parcel. The purpose of the B1 district, as we understand it, is to serve the needs of primarily rural and medium residential neighborhoods. And as Mr. Scott pointed out, and as I will too, we are saturated with businesses serving our area. A 48,000 square foot Harris Teeter supermarket is located on the southwest corner of the intersection. On that property are two commercial pods originally identified as a pharmacy and a bank, but have yet to be leased. A quarter mile north on Cedar Neck is a liquor store, a seafood market, an Italian restaurant, an appliance repair shop, and a 250-seat restaurant and bar. And another quarter mile north is Hawker's Supercenter with a supermarket, a hardware store, a women's clothing store, a cafe, and a filling station. Now about the site, we know how the site may be used if it's rezoned, but we don't know how it will be used, which bothers us a lot. The county would be required, if it was rezoned, to allow a filling station if certain conditions were met. Restaurants would be allowed. Both are heavy vehicle destination businesses. And with a conditional use permit or a special use exception, the owner could be allowed to use that property for any number of reasons, which are not compatible and do not enhance the general character of our residential surroundings. About traffic, the Delaware Department of Transportation projects a change to B1 zoning would add about 1,700 vehicles to that intersection. Most of those, we can assume, would flow through that intersection from 7 in the morning to 7 at night. There's not a reliable total traffic count available right now. The most recent count, as far as I could determine, was done in 1997. Since then, 500 more homes have been built in that cluster that we're talking about. And the Salt Pond Plaza, which is Harris Teeter, has opened. So there's a considerable amount of traffic flowing through that intersection. Just anecdotally, on August 21st of this year, in a 4-minute period, from 10:17 in the morning till 10:21, 51 vehicles passed through that intersection, and four or five bicycles. So it's busy right now as it is, and in season, it can get terribly busy. The site plan does show two structures totaling about 18,500 square feet. And again, there is no indication how that property would be used. The plan shows 95 parking spaces, most of them aligned around the perimeter of the property. 45 of those spaces are aligned along the Bethany Lakes property line. There's no setback. The plan shows no aesthetic, noise, or visual buffers. And on the north edge of the applicant's property, 20, 25-foot tall evergreens would be removed, according to the site plan. This side of the property joins the backyard of Bethany Lakes homes, and there's no indication a similar buffer would be erected. So in summary, the area has no need, in our opinion, for additional adjacent retail. The additional traffic load will result in more backups at the intersection and added difficulty exiting Bethany Lakes and the Salt Pond and Bayside of Bethany Lakes. The site plan right now is vague with no indication how the property would be used. And under the current zoning, the applicant can still utilize this parcel for a number of permitted uses within the MR medium density zoning category. As this parcel is surrounded by residents in close proximity to the west, north, and south, residential zoning is the most compatible, we feel, zoning. The comprehensive plan should not be amended simply in order to allow the applicant to maximize return, in our opinion. Maintaining the medium residential zoning provides an economic benefit to the applicant as compatible with the primary residential use of the surrounding areas. He purchased the property zoned MR, and he should expect no more or no less from his investment, in our opinion. The applicant has not demonstrated a need for rezoning to a B1 neighborhood business district. No research, as far as we know, no data which demonstrates a need for more retail business, general business, and professional offices in this area has been provided. And I am unaware of commercial initiatives of this area as part of the comprehensive plan. You have in front of you 51 letters. They are letters individually written. Probably 30 of them are from Bethany Lakes residents. The rest are from Salt Pond residents and residents of Bayside of Bethany Lakes. So we would ask, again, the commission to deny the applicant's request to rezone this parcel of land.
All right, sir, we thank you.
Thank you.
Does anyone else like to speak in opposition? All right, sir, come on up.
Hello, gentlemen. I'm a resident of Bayside of Bethany Lakes, the property that was spoken.
And your name is?
My name is Michael Donahue. I live at 205 South Mill Lane in Ocean View.
Thank you.
Our neighborhood is the neighborhood that's across from their proposed property, these cluster homes. You see, there's four residential units in each of these clusters. It's primarily a summer, you know, vacation place. We have a lot of people that rent their units. Probably, I wouldn't say a lot of people. I'd say maybe 20% of the people in our neighborhood rent their place. The other 80% use it primarily as their vacation home. There are a lot of children in this neighborhood. We've had to do our own traffic mitigation inside our neighborhood to slow down the traffic that comes through there. I'm not sure if any of you gentlemen are familiar with this intersection here, but it's a very busy intersection. It's a very pedestrian, unfriendly intersection. I have a young daughter. We try to ride our bikes into Harris Teeter on occasion. The red light there has no pedestrian connection that, you know, there's never a time where it says walk. It's always green light, you know, one way for cars, red light the other way for cars. You basically have to sprint across there when you get a chance. Also, if you look at this picture, they just kind of generally said we're up against Bayside of Bethany Lakes. Their clubhouse and pool would abut right up against this property. I'm sure the people that bought these properties in there did not buy them expecting to find a restaurant, a gas station, you know, whatever it is that these guys have on their platter, which I'm sure there's something, but that's for another time, I suppose. There are, in addition to all the existing residential properties there, there are plans on record that are already approved for, I think, a townhouse development just south of Bethany Lakes. There's Sunset Harbor, which is down this extension right here. There are 83 single-family homes being built there. So you can expect to see another 200 or 300 cars coming in and out of there. The townhouse plan, I think, is for something like 50 or 60 townhomes. So the math there gives you another, you know, probably 200 cars coming in and out of there. The traffic at this intersection is bad right now. I don't know anything about accidents. I don't know anything about traffic counts. I really don't even know how this process is supposed to work. These guys come in with an idea that they just want to change this property to commercial. Neither of these gentlemen are residents of the area. One is from Maryland, the other is from somewhere in this vicinity, but neither of them live there. The one property was purchased recently, and my suspicion is that person came in with an idea of what he wants to do with that property, approached the other landowner and said, I've got this idea, let's do it. One of the two property owners is the primary owner of a company that represents Exxon, a lot of different gas stations. They go out and acquire properties for filling stations, mini marts. Now, nobody's saying that that's what they're going to do, because apparently they don't have to tell you what they're going to do. They just want to get this property changed. There's no greater good happening here. It's all about lining somebody's pockets so they can take a piece of residential land, which has served its purpose as residential land for I don't know how many years, and turn it into something commercial for, I don't know what the good they think it's going to do the community, but I can't see any. So I ask that, you know, that this proposal be basically turned down. They have shown no merit of why they would want to do this. It came as a surprise to us. I think this process is a bit flawed. in that apparently they were talking about this in January, February timeframe, and we don't see a sign go up on the property until sometime in August. So in about 3 or 4 weeks, the homeowners in this area have to suddenly organize themselves about this proposal, where these gentlemen have been working on it for probably 6 or 7 months. I think that you guys may want to look into, maybe there should be a process where as soon as something like this is proposed, there should be some communication with the neighbors so that they could get their act together a little bit sooner than 3 or 4 weeks before it's presented. I thank you very much.
All right, sir. We thank you. Anyone else? Yes, sir. Step right up.
My name is Martin Lefkowitz. I own a home in Bayside at Bethany Lakes on South Mill Lane. And if I could just take a second, I'd like to point out where I am.
Sure.
As the last gentleman mentioned, Bayside at Bethany, these are two separate developments, if that's not made clear. They're both developed by developers. First, the Bethany Lake single family homes, 88 of them. And on the west side of Cedar Neck are 208 carriage homes and villas. That development of ours is in two sections. This is what's called phase two. There are 64 homes in here, 64 homes that enter and exit this driveway, which is directly across from where this notional, I assume, main entrance would be to this development. This already is a very congested and difficult area, and I think probably the 53 letters you've received reflect a lot of that. By the way, you probably see a silver car parked in this lot. I think that's mine because that's my house. I look directly across the road to the house that's owned by Mr. Brown. It's a lovely, large, two-story, white frame home. In fact, in talking to Mr. Browning, he mentioned it was such a lovely home that he'd like to have it moved someplace. It's quite a nice house. This house is probably the first thing I see, other than turning to my wife next to me, when I get up in the morning and walk down my hallway, because our window looks directly onto this frame house. I shudder to think what I would be looking at should this application be approved. I'm certain it would blink, it would spin, and probably make noise as well. I'd like to correct a couple of what I believe are facts that Mr. Scott mentioned. Number one, I did have a conversation with Mr. Browning. I haven't met him yet, but
okay,
Mr. Browning, okay. I reached out and called Mr. Browning myself, and he returned my call.
Good.
To my knowledge, neither applicant had approached either Bayside at Bethany Lakes or Bethany Lakes themselves. Is that correct? Okay. Mr. Browning had returned a call. Our site manager works for Legum and Norman Management Company. When we learned about this just a few weeks ago, she walked across the street and knocked on the home that's being rented by Mr. Browning to the, I think it's probably Mr. Lloyd, I'm not sure who runs the business there, but knocked on the door to try to get some information, what was going on. And this reflects Mr. Donahue's comments that we had to react quickly to something. I believe it was in response to her knocking, walking across the road, knocking the door, that I think Mr. Browning returned her call and talked to Nancy Lowe.
Sir,
guys can't have a conversation. You just need to talk with us, if you would, please.
I apologize.
That's all right. It's probably your first trip.
So it would be great. We would have appreciated being approached, being the neighbors in that immediate area, being approached and having some discussion of what was being planned. That did not occur. We reacted pretty quickly. I also want to make mention, sir, that you don't have, I don't believe, unless another one of the communities, that from our community, there is no petition in the file. Okay. And the reason for that was
people we had spoken to, we had been counseled that this commission wanted to hear primarily from individuals that were directly affected, not some group. And I was the one who discouraged that petition.
Well, let me assure you that that's fine. It's not
okay.
Petitions are what they are. We don't encourage them. We don't discourage them.
Understand. Just wanted to clarify
that. That's fine, sir.
The other thing that I did want to clarify is that Mr. Scott made mention of these other businesses that were so-called up and down Cedar Neck. They are quite a bit, they're clustered quite a ways up Cedar Neck from where we are. The immediate area surrounding these two residential properties is residential. I think it's a bit of an anomaly that these got carved out by themselves.
I have to ask a question. There's a Harris Teeter right across the street, isn't there? I mean, that's...
There is a Harris Teeter across the other side.
It's residential right there. I don't think... I have to correct you on that. I don't think the record reflects that it's residential right there, that intersection.
That is correct. And that is, of course, on the other side of Fred Hudson, a bit removed from where we are in this residential pocket. What I was going to say was that these two parcels, correct.
I think he's talking about then Hawkers, which is further up, is where the cluster is. Yeah.
This gentleman's home is correct.
Correct. It is correct. And one of the beauties, I don't know what was meant by the value, timber of value, there's quite a number of beautiful trees, as a matter of fact, on lot 72 on the corner that do provide quite a nice visual buffer for us from the Harris Teeter development.
I'm sure they would sell it to you.
I'm sorry?
I'm sure they would sell it to you.
I'm sure they would. I don't think what they probably want, I would be interested in. The other point I want to make is to correct, I think, a little bit of misconception that's been conveyed here about this commercial activity. I mean, the most immediate commercial activity that's near that property has occurred on that property for the last 5 years. There has been heavy construction equipment in and out of both 72, the activity occurs primarily on 7201.
Okay.
Heavy equipment has been moved in and out of there on the front, right in front of us. It has been parked there. There's been major construction activities going on with cranes, gradles, and access has been provided across 7200. And there is today, at least there was, I say today, there was on Monday when I was last there, a very large piece of heavy industrial equipment. A year ago this week, the people who were conducting whatever they conduct there, and believe me, this is not hobby woodworking,
okay,
constructed this sign that's been referred to at the front of the property. I called the Planning and Zoning Commission office. It was, I think, 3 or 4 days after Labor Day. It was just a year ago. And somebody looked in the file and said to me that, yes, there is a zoning violation investigation going on. I said, well, good. I can rest easy. Nothing had ever happened. When this application was filed and we became aware of it, and I had a chance to visit the office and look at the file, indeed, there was a zoning violation shown. There were no records as to any follow-up on it. I'm not sure why. A couple of days ago, I did speak to the inspector who had gone around and verified that, in fact, there was a problem. And he was going to issue what he described as a second zoning violation. So this is not something that just a sign went up recently or work was going on. This has been going on. But my point is this, that
I think that while I understand this is not a use hearing, this is a zoning, we all have to be concerned at some point, I think, of what could be there. And I have, based on what has happened over the last 5 years there, little confidence in any compassion, understanding, or I would say respect for the residential area around it. That has not been shown so far in the last several years. So that was the point I wanted to make on that. And the sign, to my knowledge, unless it's been taken down in the last 2 days, still exists. Maybe it was taken down yesterday. I won't go into any more detail about the traffic. I think it's been pointed out. All the traffic that's coming in there is, and I pointed out in my letter, that we get an awful lot of traffic. There's been a major increase recently coming from the Route 26 area. That's been become so congested that traffic is coming north on Central to Cedar Neck and cutting up Fred Hudson to go north on Coastal Highway. So it's not only the traffic generated by our homes, the businesses that are in the area, but a lot of pass-through traffic. I don't know that that's been taken into account by any traffic studies recently. We know that what might be built there is speculative at this point. We're all concerned about that speculation. As far as what's coming into this intersection today, it's described as this extension. There are only 12 of the 84 homes that are built in there today. So there will be another 70, I think it's 84, something like that. It's only 72 homes, additional traffic. So we're concerned about the traffic, concerned about the safety, and most importantly, we bought a home in what we thought was the quiet resort. This piece of property, these two pieces of property, I think, without going into history, are a bit of an anomaly that they even exist to stand alone. They probably were not for sale when Toll Brothers came in to buy all the rest of the acreage around it. There they stand as an island. And there's two very nice residents on them. I think they should stay there. Thank you very much for your time.
All right, sir, thank you. I said we thank you. Thank you so much. Anyone else like to speak in opposition? Okay, boy, here come all the hands. This one next, you're next, and then you're next.
Thank you for this opportunity to address this august commission. My name is Tom Storch. I'm a resident of South Mill Lane at Bayside at Bethany Lakes. I do want to talk about the traffic a little bit because I have a young daughter who is impacted by it. Since the Harris Teeter store has opened, the traffic on Fred Hudson Highway, especially on weekends, has become a major bottleneck. When I first moved to Bayside at Bethany Lakes 5 years ago, it wasn't so much of an issue. This past summer, on three occasions, I had to wait for between 15 to 20 minutes to get from Harris Teeter to Route 1. The cycle of the light there is such that the traffic was backed up all the way to Harris Teeter, which is about, I think, about 3/4 of a mile. I understand that over 80 homes are being developed behind us in Sunset Harbor, and I also understand that additional townhomes are also approved adjacent to the Bethany Lakes community on Fred Hudson Highway. I think I've heard about 40 homes going in there. So it is my opinion that any additional retail business would attract additional traffic and exacerbate an already congested situation. I personally do not feel a need for additional retail opportunities in my community. When I purchased my home at Bethany Lakes, I was looking for a residential community that allowed myself and my family to ride our bikes, to hike, to walk. And again, 5 years ago, I wasn't concerned about safety issues. I have a 14-year-old daughter who has discovered the freedom of a bicycle. Well, she quickly discovered that she shouldn't ride up towards Harris Teeter in that intersection. I just think that if we put additional retail space anywhere on Cedar Neck, that there's going to be more congestion, not only for walkers, joggers, and bicyclists, but also for motorists. I had a choice 5 years ago as to where to live. I was looking in Maryland, quite truthfully. Had I been looking at a community with a retail outlet right at the entrance to the community, I would have passed it by. I am where I am now, but I chose where I am living now because of the residential nature of the community. And as you can tell, I'm in opposition to this development. Thank you for your time.
All right, sir. We thank you. All right, sir. You're up.
While this fellow's coming up, I might ask Mr. Lang.
Sure, go ahead. Ask Mr. Lang. Bearing. Sure.
Mr. Lang, your discussion about the Harris Teeter, it's my recollection when that came before the commission that that was a site plan only because that land has been zoned, was zoned commercial for what, maybe 20 years?
It was set aside as commercial as part of the RPC.
Set aside out of an RPC.
B1 portion of the MRRPC. But there, based on calculation, they're allowed to have a 1 acre of commercial activity on per 100 units within the Salt Pond project, which gave them almost 6 acres.
Right, and that was done at approximately what year?
In the 80s.
In the 80s, which, and these Bayside at Bethany Lakes and Bethany Lakes were done in the 21st century, is that correct?
That's right.
Thank you. Sorry, your floor.
Yes, sir.
Good evening, gentlemen. Michael Silverman. I stand before you as a homeowner, and I'll show you, because unfortunately my house is photographed on some of these photos, but also as an attorney of the state. I don't do any of this law, so this is all fairly new to me.
Well, sir, since you're an attorney,
yes,
and you have not appeared before us in the past, you must give us your bar number because he's not sure you're telling the truth.
I didn't know if there was a hazing episode.
There might be, but it's just the bar number tonight.
Bar number 3034.
3034. Will you check the database?
I will check that. All right.
Not to be confused with my inmate number, of course.
Understood. Understood. Well, welcome to Sussex County Planning and Zoning, and you may have the floor.
Thank you. I usually get next door to the Superior Courthouse, so this is my first experience in number two. I've been in number one. But unfortunately, gentlemen, I see my house.
Number two, all right.
Someone told me I had to come to number two. I said,
tell you what.
Is that next to number one?
You set that one up for us. But anyway,
that's right out of the building.
It's
right?
Getting late. Go ahead.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Members of council, if I may, I will take a minute to show you my home. It is on this diagram that I stole from my colleagues over here. If you see these two vehicles here, and I'll show you where we are here, this vehicle and this vehicle, these vehicles sit in the driveway of a second home that we were fortunate enough to purchase some years ago, 5 years ago perhaps. And the home, you can just see the outer edge of it here in reference to the proposed change in zoning. So I speak to you on several levels. I speak to you as a homeowner, as I share Mr. Lefkowitz's comments, who has a home immediately adjacent, probably within 100 yards to this proposal, and also someone who happily frequents the area, both on pleasure, which is what I prefer, but a little bit on business as well. There are three issues that I wanted to address this evening. One is traffic, and we've heard some about that, but I'd like to take a moment to give you some real world of what actually goes on there. Second is safety. You've heard some about that. I'll speak a little more about that. And lastly, simply the pleasure of use for what exists there right now versus what's being proposed. With respect to traffic, let me give you some real world as to what goes on so you have some basis of understanding when you go through your deliberation or decision-making process. Many of the places that we're talking about along this whole corridor are summer use. And when you come to use the facilities, whether it's mine or somebody else's, here's what you now deal with. You have traffic that is backed up on Fred Hudson. If you're going beachbound in the morning, you have traffic backed up from Route 1, and that stretch is 1.3 miles. I know that because I jog it, and it kills me to do it. But it's 1.3 miles from Route 1 down the Fred Hudson all the way down to Cedar Neck. When we're talking about the time that people are down there, we're talking about traffic that's backed up bumper to bumper down that entire stretch of roadway. Obviously, the Harris Teeter didn't help that situation. It's there. I get it. I happen to frequent the store, as do some other people. If you don't know it, you should know it, and it was brought up here, but I want to make sure it's clear to you members of the council that there are two pad sites that sit on that, what I'm calling that Harris Teeter area. And if you don't know, I'm not sure where it is, I'll tell you where it is. It sits directly across from this proposal. I can come over here and show you. This area here is what I'm calling the Harris Teeter complex. And these two gray areas here are the gray areas here are the vacant pad sites that are proposed, obviously not to be vacant. We know what the traffic exists and what the use is like and what the density is like with the Harris Teeter there. We don't know, and it's not terribly difficult to speculate what it's going to be like when the two pad sites are used. Yes, sir.
I'm good. I was just having a thought.
Okay. It's probably consistent with mine. Then across from that, we have this proposal to add additional commercial space. And the question that has to be asked in a rhetorical fashion is why? What is going to go on there that is going to add to the area? I can sit here and talk to you chapter and verse about traffic. I can tell you real world how, as Mr. Lefkowitz did, how people have become smart enough as these additional communities get built down Route 26. That's a disaster in case any of you ever try to get east going down Route 26. So some of the folks that visit the area have become smart enough to say, well, if we jump off 26, we make a left on Central. We can get down that country road called Fred Hudson and get right up onto Route 1. Well, not anymore you can't because it's backed up down right down to the intersection. And then we have the other communities that are in place and some proposed to be built and some actually built. You've got Magnolias that's been built. You've got the other community, the name escapes me. You've got those communities being built on Cedar Neck down towards Mr. Hawker's store so that now traffic is becoming difficult to get the other way on Cedar Neck. But everybody's funneling right there, right where this proposed developmental change is or the zoning change is. So I want to make sure that you folks understand that when we talk about the real-world aspects of some of the zoning change that's being requested. Let me turn my attention, unless there's any questions as to that, and I can tell you what it's like a little bit more. Let me turn my attention, if I could, to issues of safety. You've heard some of that. Perhaps I can add to that. Because of the added homes and the added people and the outdoor enjoyment that people like to have in this area, this area has become a source of a place where people like to be outdoors, they like to ride bikes, they like to run, they like to jog. Here's the problem, though. The people are going to do that, but the question is it safe to do that? If you've ever been down Fred Hudson, there are a couple things that'll strike you. Number one, there are a lot of cars there. Number two, it's a two-lane road, one in each direction. There is no shoulder. There is no shoulder on either side of that road, but for about 50 feet as it approaches Route 1. I have two daughters, getting a little too old for my taste. They're 17 and soon to be 14. And there's not a time that we don't get down there that I tell them that somebody will figure out what to do with Fred Hudson Road and how to expand that road when somebody gets killed. And that's what I tell them, because it's going to happen. And it's not going to happen because Mike Silverman stands here and tells you it's going to happen. It's going to happen because it's bound to happen. You've got too many people using too small a stretch of roadway, and it's going to happen. And when it happens, somebody will then sit back and say, you know, damn it, we should have done something about that. Well, you now have an opportunity to do a little something about it, which is to deny the change. Because we know what's there, and what's there is there. I mean, you can't put the horse back in the barn. But you can do something about things that are proposed to be there, and that's really the genesis of why I come here tonight. I've never spoken at a variance hearing before. I didn't even know where it was, to tell you the truth. But these are some comments I wanted to share with you so that you understood some of the real-world aspects of what's going on. Let me lastly also talk about the intersection. The intersection that sits at the bottom of Fred Hudson at Cedar Neck, right where this proposed change is, and I'll show you where it is. It's this intersection right here. You can't really get a great sense of it from this photograph, but if you ever go there, it's a pretty small place. There's a bump out for a left turn lane. You've got a lot feeding into that. You've got the entrance to phase two, right where I am, is about 50 feet from there. So cars turning left and right out of there. There's a traffic light there. You've got cars coming out of Sunset Harbor, and there's, like you heard, there's going to be 84 homes there. Cars coming down the other way from Route 1, and cars coming across from Central. Now we have this proposal to change, and I was really pleased with the questions that one of the council members asked, which is, where's the entrance and exit going to be for this proposed change on this commercial site? Is that going to be off of Fred Hudson? Is that going to be off Cedar Neck? And you know, I was really pleased to hear the questions, because I'll suggest to you that you didn't get a very good answer to the question. And the reason you didn't get a very good answer, I'll propose to you, is because there is no good answer to the question. You can't physically get more vehicles in and out on Fred Hudson. I mean, I suppose you could if you want to wait there for 20, 25, 30 minutes, but that's not really my idea of having a house down in Sussex County, the quiet resorts. So you say, okay, well, let's dump them out onto Cedar Neck. Where are you going to dump them out onto Cedar Neck? You've got density across, you've got density coming down the other way, and you've got density going back the other way. So I hope that you think about some of these things and the real-world aspects of it when you think about this proposed zoning change and how it affects not only the character of the area, but also the real-world effect. I'll leave you with just a couple of comments, and I echo what some of the other folks have said. People bought here for a reason. They wanted to come to Sussex County for a reason. They wanted to come to this area for a reason. I can assure you, without having spoken to all of them, that they didn't want to come to this area because there was going to be another bank, another drugstore, or another gas station, or whatever it is. I can assure you of that. They wanted to come because people like what's here. They like it that it's quiet. They like that they have access to recreational facilities. They like that they can walk. They like that they can take their bike out. That's slowly evaporating, because you really can't take your bike out, even from where I live, over to the store, unless you feel like you might want to put your life in your hands and get killed. Overstatement, perhaps. Trust me, it's going to happen. So when you look at some of these proposals, whether it's this one or some other ones that will come before you, think about those things. Think about the residents that are there and why they're there and what they bought into versus somebody who just comes, snaps their fingers, and says, Council, I want to change my zoning. Thank you for hearing me.
Absolutely. Thank you, sir. Appreciate your comments. And, again, welcome to our forum. I don't know what kind of law you specialize in, but I would suggest to you that your skills are quite transferable. So.
Well, perhaps if you could tell some of my clients, they'll enjoy hearing that.
All right, sir. Thank you. Anyone else? Let's see. One back here. Yes, sir. That's right. Your turn.
One thing I want to say for everybody here, too, because it's come up a couple times as this gentleman's walking up, don't assume that the commission's not familiar with the property. Whatever the application is, in every single hearing that this commission has, all these commissioners go out to the site. I can assure you that everybody up here is familiar with just about everywhere in Sussex County to start with. But that being the case, everybody here goes and visits the site at least once. That's one of the longstanding rules of this commission that's at least implicit, if not, certainly expressed. So I don't want anybody to think that anybody up here is making a commission or a decision in a vacuum without firsthand knowledge of what's there, what it looks like, what everything around there looks like, because these folks have all driven by it at least once and probably lots of times in the course of the past year or several years. So thank you, Mr. Willie.
Well, you're welcome. And that being said, though, there is a substantial value in the personal testimony of the folks who live in the area. So go ahead. Let's have some more.
Thank you.
Whether it's for or against.
My name is Francis Harding. I live in Terry Circle. Okay. You've heard enough about traffic. You've heard enough about the intersection. There's nothing. I moved to Bethany with my wife approximately 3 years ago.
Okay.
From Maryland. And I moved there for two reasons. Number one, to avoid the traffic, which you've heard enough about.
Yeah, that's right.
And number two, I have everything I need. I have Hawkers, I have supermarkets, I have CVS. I don't need anymore.
Low property taxes.
Low property, everything. I love Delaware. I don't need anything else.
Okay.
I need to sit down and be quiet.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, no applause, but I have to tell you, I do believe it was warranted. Okay. All right. Would anyone else like to speak in opposition? Anyone else on the commission have any questions? Before we close the public hearing, I want to remind everyone once again, good people on both sides of the issue, we appreciate your patience. You all have been sitting here for a long time, a little over three hours. I appreciate your patience and your courtesy. Would ask that if you're going to leave at the close of this hearing, that you would do so quietly, because believe it or not, we have other business we have to do. So with that, we'll close the public hearing. We'll invite you to remain with us to see if we make a decision, or you may wish to call the office in the morning.